Cat Mayo Hour.
Welcome to the Pat Mayo Hour, Week 8. NFL, spread picks, game previews, survivor selections, because one of us is still in. That person is not me. That person also is not Gary and Thorne. We out.
Yeah.
We don't get to make picks. Bad run for you in picking everything this year.
Yeah, it's been bad.
You'll be okay.
I don't know.
You don't know what's going on with
you?
I got
like an identity crisis thing going.
Well, you are currently sitting third in the pick'em standings.
Yep. Of three.
Of three, yes. Yep. I am sitting in first after my nice week last week, and sitting in second, his name, Tim and August.
Yeah, that's my name.
Loser. It may have been the worst bet you could have ever taken. So if people don't know, the bet was, would David Johnson score 10 PPR points? He almost had 10 catches.
He played 87 snaps.
I mean, my logic was sound, is that the Cardinals' offense is awful, and the defense is up against a great defense, and they didn't even score a touchdown. If I knew the game was going to be 6-6 tie, I would have taken the bet again. Like, the game worked out the way I kind of thought it would. Johnson didn't score a touchdown. I mean, like, kind of went the way I thought.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, he's one of those guys who, if he doesn't score the touchdown, it's not enough that he leads the league in carries and targets among running backs. He's just, he can't get it through bulk. You know, he's just not a volume player. He's a touchdown or bust, really.
Yeah, whatever.
So Dr. Tim Andercust currently sits in second. So when we reviewed the standings last week, I had a hot week. 11-4 for me, bringing my total back above 500, 53-50-4. My super locks hit, so I'm at 3-4. Cust is in second place with a 6-9 week, goes to 50-53-4. Out of the lead, Tim, what happened to your insurmountable four-game lead?
Don't think I ever called it insurmountable.
Yeah, 1 week, gone. 5-2 with the super lock, though. Nice hit on the Eagles. Garion, 3-12.
Yeah.
37-64-4.
Lord.
2-5 super lock.
I figured it out, though.
I know you have. So reveal to the people what you will be making your picks with this week.
Well, I tried to rent an octopus to do that thing where the octopus picks, but I couldn't find an octopus.
Died.
Sorry, Tim?
It was from the World Cup like 10 years ago when he died.
Yeah, that's probably why I couldn't find him. So what I'm going to do is I have placed some ping pong balls in this hat with the letters H and A on them. I will pick a ball out of the hat at the end of each game segment, and then I will pick the home or away team corresponding to which ball I pick out. Also, one of these has a star on it, and if I pick the one with the star on it, it has to be my super lock.
That's fantastic. I like it a lot. What if you don't pick that one?
Yeah. Then I guess the Monday night game is my super lock.
It just goes down to that?
Yeah.
I feel like a good week is coming for you.
This will be my best week.
It has to be your best week. What was your best week?
I believe I started week one. I was like 8-6 out of week one.
Oh, my God.
I believe I had a winning week.
Take that week out. Jesus.
It's real bad.
Yeah, that's not good news.
Well, I was saying last week, I think I went like 4-11, and we were saying that's probably been your worst week. It's like, no, I've had worse than that. And then this week.
Then 3-12.
And 3-12, so.
So there's only 13 games this week.
There you go. Less games to lose.
So you're not going to lose 12, hopefully.
Well, we don't know.
We do not know that. That is true. Thursday night game. Let's get right into it. Very briefly, I don't want to break this down because most people watch on Friday. Tennessee is favored by 3 points in this game at home. Feinberg actually tweeted out that I think Mariota's 1-9 against the spread at home in his career. Unfortunately, Blake Bortles is about the same on the road.
Yeah.
So, you know,
he's covered one game. Two. That's Chicago.
No, he's,
game,
he's,
yeah.
he's won he's two won games two, okay. ever on the road. I'm sure he's probably covered a few.
Yeah.
Probably not, though. They tend to get waxed.
They used to
on
play some big spreads.
Yeah, and they probably didn't cover those spreads. Anyway, it's -3. The over-under is 43.5. Let's pick a score for the Thursday night game. So I'm picking Tennessee to cover. I have 23-14 as the final score. Tim?
Yeah.
We got to pick it out of the hat for you.
Well, yeah, that's true.
So pick.
I'm picking the Titans. I have 24-17 Titans.
24-17 Titans. So make your pick, pick your score based off the pick.
If it was up to me, I'd be picking the Titans, even though I'm always wrong with these.
So who are you actually picking? Let's see.
I am picking the Jaguars.
The Jaguars? So
yes.
Give me a score. So they have to cover the three.
They have to cover the three. I'm going to say Jaguars 17, Tennessee 13.
Oh, so upset on the road.
Yeah, take Moneyline Jaguars.
Moneyline Jags. Okay,
go.
I'm feeling it. Good
advice. The hat's already paying off.
I mean, this is insider advice right here.
Inside a hat.
Inside of a hat. Yeah. What does the A stand for?
Away.
What's the H?
Home.
Sir?
What does the A stand for again?
Away.
Let's get into the games. Washington at Cincy, or really versus Cincy. This game is in London. -3 for the Bengals. It opened at 2. At 73% of the money coming in on Cincinnati right now, the over-under is 47.5. It looks like Jordan Reed's going to be back. He's practicing. If a guy has a case of the dizzies and you put him on a plane to go overseas, chances are he's feeling a little bit better. Now he's at practice.
Do you think he still gets dizzy?
Probably.
I feel like there's diminishing returns at some point with concussions.
You can only have so many. Yeah. That's
just who you are.
Yeah, doesn't matter anymore. The guy has like 38 concussions.
Something like that.
Well, he's playing in this game, apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
Eifert's playing. It looks like it's like a full complement of players as we have going here. I don't know how I feel about this. I think Cincinnati might be a bit fraudulent after beating up on the Browns like everyone does.
They barely even beat up on the Browns. If not for a 56-yard Hail Mary to end the half. Like,
Jeremy Hill was running them over.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can run over the Browns. But just, like, they should have demolished the Browns with the way that offense moved the ball. But their defense is secret awful.
Secret awful?
Yeah, it's just, it's not good.
Tim, what do you make of this? You always like Washington, and you love Cincinnati. They're your Super Bowl pick.
I know. So the reason I will be taking the Bengals in this game is because Josh Norman will not be there. The number one player in fantasy you want this week, without question, is A.J. Green.
I don't think so.
He is going to destroy the Redskins.
I'd rather have David Johnson.
No way. Okay, receiver. David Johnson.
I'd rather have Mike Evans than A.J. Green, but that's me.
Not close.
How is that
not
close?
You want A.J. Green this week. The best cornerback the team has is out. The other cornerbacks they have aren't any good. A.J. Green is a monster, and he is going to destroy that secondary. It's not close this week. I think the Bengals win it by 8. I wrote down 31-23. Trent Williams got hurt at the end of the game, sort of on the Redskins' Hail Mary in Detroit. Who knows what his physical condition will be? No him, no Josh Norman, coming off a gutting loss on the road in London. All signs point to the Bengals. The Bengals are the play.
And your boy Matt Jones might not play either.
Well, he keeps fumbling the ball.
No, but he's hurt now, too. Maybe it's a case of hurt feelings, but I don't know. He might not play.
I think this is the first time all year I picked against the Skins. And when I'm picking against them, that's probably a sign that you should pick against them, too.
Oh. Should we be tailing Tim here, do you think?
I mean, again, this is a situation unlike last week, even though it still worked for Detroit. But this is a team that can exploit Washington on the ground, and they will exploit Washington on the ground. So I would lean Cincinnati, but it's not up to me.
It's not up to you. So let's see what the hat says. What's the hat saying?
Cincinnati. Oh.
Well, no, it'd be Washington.
It's Washington.
At Cincinnati.
Damn it.
Garion's on Washington. I'm going to be with Tim here. I think the Bengals can cover the 3. I think it's probably push at worst. I think they win the game. So if I think they're going to win the game and it's -3, I'm going to take Cincinnati.
Yeah. That sounds smart.
Yeah, but we'll see. Maybe the hat knows.
Yeah.
I mean, you wanted to pick Cincinnati.
It's a great hat.
And the hat is
telling you
not to.
And with my track record, I should listen to the hat.
Yeah, there you go. Green Bay at Atlanta. The over-under in this game is 52.5. I believe that is the highest total of the week. Makes a lot of sense. Two teams with good offenses. And Green Bay what's that?
One team with a good offense.
Now, the Packers are averaging like 25 points a game.
Hey, Tim,
they scored 26 against the Bears. This game is not going to be close.
Tim, if you had to guess who averages more red zone drives per game, Atlanta or Green Bay, what would your guess be?
Green Bay.
Red zone? Probably Green Bay, because Atlanta scores from depth.
I mean, still they have 4 per game. They're still second in the NFC.
Do they score from depth?
Yes, they do.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
All right.
I mean, these are 2 and 3. In red zone drives per game. I'm just saying both teams are in positions to score.
I'm very curious to see what the Packers look like on offense. Like, do you think they incorporate more Nile Davis this week, or do you think they just keep going with Ty Montgomery out of the backfield and throw the ball 60 times?
It's worked.
It was pretty efficient. And for a team that was wildly inefficient for most of the season, they were efficient against the Bears.
Well, it's strange kind of how the league's gone. I know last season and the year before that, it was kind of surprising to see that Rodgers, his ADOT was as small as it was when we were used to a number being much larger. But you look right now at the lowest ADOTs in the league, there's a 3-way tie, and one of the guys you would expect to be there is, of course, Alex Smith.
Yeah.
But then it's Matt Stafford, who has...
That doesn't surprise me.
Exactly, but he's found success going with the short routes, and then it's Tom Brady, because that's what Brady's been doing forever. So it's a good game plan. Like, if you're just going to get 5-6-yard chunks, I mean, right now Montgomery's ADOT is like 1.5. Like, he's not catching these passes very far, but according to Pro Football Focus, he's 20 for 20. So I'd keep doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost a lot like, I mean, the Patriots can run the ball now with Blunt. It's almost like the Patriots were like I want to say like 5 years ago when they had no receivers after Moss had left and before really Edelman started playing a bigger role. That I mean, when they had like Welker, they were just using these four yard quick hitches as the running game, and that's basically what Green Bay is doing now.
Yeah,
but you don't think that Nile Davis gets involved at all?
I mean, there's no metric in the world that promotes Nile Davis as a good running back. It might take Mike McCarthy a game or two to realize that. Like, I'm sure he will be a bigger part of this game than he was Thursday, but I like what 10 touches?
I would say 10 touches sounds about right.
Yeah. Like, they threw the ball 71% of the time. So there's still some room to run the ball, but...
With Ty Montgomery.
I'm thinking, yeah, I'd keep it to the sort of the 70-30 philosophy if I were them.
On the other side of the ball, Devonta Freeman returned to practice with his hip injury today. Tevin Coleman likely not playing. I think they signed Stephen Ridley.
Yeah. Activated Terran Ward off the practice squad as well.
The Terran from the Mirror Universe.
Ugh.
Yeah, you don't want to be a Terran. That's rough news for you if you live in the Mirror Universe. I'm kind of torn on this. This game opened at 2.5. Like I said, it's 3 right now. I expect it to be somewhat high scoring. Tim, do you think San Diego is better than Green Bay?
Yes.
By a long shot?
Not by a long shot, but by a decent amount.
Oh, I like Tim's tears. They always make so much sense.
I think the Chargers might be like the third best team in the AFC. So, I mean, I'd perhaps go higher on them than you guys are.
So, no, I think they're a solid team. They're a team that, again, they live in the red zone. They don't turn the ball over. Like,
I think
they're
Green
a good
Bay's
team.
A perfectly mediocre team. You know, middle of the pack. And against one of the better teams on the road. And they haven't played a road game in a month. You know, I just don't see the Pack winning this game. I have the Falcons by 10, so I like Atlanta.
The Falcons by 10? Wow. I feel like it's going to be a closer game than that, only because Atlanta's defense just isn't very good.
Do you think their defense is worse in comparison to Green Bay's defense than Atlanta's offense is better than Green Bay?
Well, here's the thing. So the one thing that Green Bay does basically better than anyone is stop the run. The one bad game they had was against Ezekiel Elliott because Dallas is excellent at running the ball. And the Falcons running game, without Coleman, it's just Freeman. I don't think he's going to do much between the tackles. Fortunately, he's a great receiver.
I mean, they rank only behind the Bills in rush yards per carry before contact. Like, the line has been doing pretty well.
And they've been keeping Matt Ryan upright. It's been a big part of their success. But
so,
if you put them up against in what appears to be an elite run defense.
It's a stout defense, yeah.
That they probably just throw the ball, especially if the Packers score on them.
But that might not be an issue, because right now the Packers secondary, I mean, Sam Shields is on the IR now. Actually, yeah. You know, it's a weird situation, because Tim brought up how this crazy thing about how Washington was missing their top corner and all the other cornerbacks sucked, so that would it have to be A.J. Green being the best wide receiver in fantasy this week. Not the guy on pace for 1,900 yards who also doesn't have to face the top corner when the rest of the defense's cornerbacks suck. So I'm still going to go with Julio Jones if I had to pick one player to play this week. I think he goes off.
Yeah, well, your track records have been so good this year.
Well, you know, I'm having my best fantasy season of all time.
Same Julio Jones you benched in our fantasy league 2 weeks ago.
And I still won the week. My team's just too
yourself.
Good.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you mean my expansion team?
Yeah,
that is now currently third?
Why don't you draw your ball out of the hat so you know which way you can believe in this game?
Yeah.
Let's see. Who are you taking, Green Bay or? Green Bay it is for Garion. Green Bay for Garion. I'm going to.
Garion's like a friendly version of Anton Chigurh. Just letting fate decide the life and death of his business.
I'm glad you explained it, because no one was going to get that, Tim.
Okay, well. I explained it.
I'm just saying. Like, how many people did you think were going to get that?
I don't know. 80% of people, at least.
I mean, that movie did not do well at the box office. I understand it won Best Picture, but that doesn't mean anything. You don't seem to understand that.
People have seen that movie.
People have seen the movie. I agree with you. But it also came out like 10 years ago. And, you know, it slips out of people's consciousness.
That's fine.
And
okay.
it's not a super rewatchable movie.
No.
Once you see it once, that's probably enough.
Disagree, but we can move on.
Do you really want to go into it? Why you really need to be sitting down and watching No Country for Old Men over and over?
I think you can learn things every time you watch that movie.
I mean,
it's a good movie.
It's a great movie. I mean, it's No There Will Be Blood, which came out in the same year and should have won Best Picture, but that's for another
day. It's also an excellent book, if anyone has the time to read that book.
No one can read. Get over yourself. Reading. You got Davis talking about literature at the end of the DraftKings show, Tim thinking people can read. Give your head a shake, pal. I'm going to take Atlanta here. I think Atlanta wins. I hope I'm wrong, because I hate Atlanta.
I'm 0-3.
Only because Tim likes them so much.
Yeah. Right now, I'm 0-3 in terms of the hat telling me to pick the games and what I wanted to actually pick.
That
which
sounds
could
good.
Be a really good
That's
thing.
And Tim yeah. and I are on the same side of every game so far.
We could have had so much Mart Bell.
I just wonder, how do you think Green Bay is going to look indoors? Aren't they just a better, you know, like, I know they play outdoors, but doesn't it seem like they're always better? Rodgers is better on turf?
They played indoors in week two and scored 14 points.
Who did they play week two?
The Vikings indoors.
Yeah. Well, that's very a specific point. Like, the Vikings are a really good defense, Tim.
No, but Tim thinks
the
Vikings suck.
The Vikings are not as good as the Falcons as a team. I mean, like...
The defenses are very different.
Well, yes, of course the defense is, but I don't think it's going to be that much different in terms of points scored.
Really? You think the Green Bay scores 14 points in this game?
I said not that much better. I've got the game written down here as 30-20.
I see them scoring more than 20 points. I think that both teams can challenge 30 here. I see this game playing out a lot like last week, really, and... If Atlanta can get a drive going at the end of the game, they can win the game.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, or just not turn the ball over.
Well, I mean, they can do that, too. That's on the table.
Yeah, it is, certainly is.
Detroit at Houston. I didn't even really think about my super lock all that much. Like, I haven't really felt one game more than the other yet. But this one's really close. I really like Houston in this game. -2.5, coming off back-to-back embarrassing primetime performances.
They won one of those games.
Yeah, but they weren't good in it. Everyone's takeaway from that game was, man, the Colts blew it, and Brock kind of sucks. And then on Monday night, Brock is terrible. I think Brock has a good game here.
I mean, he'd have to. This is last chance saloon for him.
No, it's like, not last chance saloon.
Well, not as a starting quarterback, but look, Detroit is essentially matchup-proof. I mean, if he sucks in this game, he fucking sucks. Like, Detroit
well,
has the worst...
We already know he sucks.
Well, yeah.
But... Yeah, I saw people with Halloween costumes, which was a garbage can that had the number 17 on it that just said Brock Osweiler.
I love it.
Pretty clever costume.
I think so, too.
No, it's just... I mean, Detroit has proven to be matchup-proof in fantasy so far this season. Case Keenum hung a 30 on him. And yeah. But you look at... It's a diametric game. You have the team with the lowest offensive drive success rate in the NFL in Houston... versus the team giving up the highest drive success rate to opposing teams in Detroit. So one of these things has to give, and I feel like, as crazy as it sounds, I think Detroit's defense is worse than Houston's offense.
I mean, even if you call those two things a wash, I think that Houston's defense is probably slightly better than Detroit's offense. It's close.
Mm. Without J.J. Watt?
Even without J.J. Watt, they're still getting pressure. Clowney's been fine.
That's been good, yeah. They're fine. And actually, I can't remember the guy's name. Yeah, the corner is real good, yeah.
Is it like A.J. Swain or something like that?
No, it's like a C.
Is it?
A C or an S or something. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah.
Grades out as the top corner in football.
Good for you.
No one knows who he is.
Good for you.
Every time I bring it up, they're like, you mean Jonathan Joseph's? Like, no, he's having a bad year. It's the other guy, whose name no one knows.
Yeah.
A.J.
Koi? I don't know.
Something like that. We're professionals here. Yeah, we know the people's names.
We're going to play an IDP league.
Listen, we're focused on the offensive side of the ball. That's really where our kind of wheelhouse is. So I really like Houston -2.5. I think they're going to be able to run the ball pretty easily on Detroit. I think that Hopkins and Fuller probably have a decent game. Like I said, I think that Brock gets into it. Sleeper, C.J. Fedorowicz in fantasy, too. Who are you taking, Gary?
I am taking Detroit.
Oh, you have the away team, so the +2.5 with Detroit.
I feel like I've picked the same ball 4 straight times.
Maybe you got to shake it up a bit. So, Tim, what's your take here?
Last week really impressed me in terms of defense from the Lions. They were up against what I thought was a really, really good offense.
You know, you might just be overrating Washington's offense. You know
no,
that, right?
No, I'm not. I think Detroit played really well last week. Detroit's a dome team by its construction. They get to play in a dome again this week on the road. I think that's somewhat of an advantage. Houston's offense sucks. And if this becomes a game where the first team to 20 wins... I don't think the Texans are going to get there before Detroit. Therefore, I like the Lions in this game, +2.5.
I continue being undefeated on the Lions so far this season. Have yet to lose against the spread with them.
Yeah, I took them once as my super lock, and I got it. But I'm just tired of – I was thinking about super – there's only two games I felt really good about this week. This was one of the two. And I'm not super locking them in because I'm tired of needing the Lions either helping or hurting me to win that.
Seattle at New Orleans. New Orleans is a 2.5-point dog at home. 51% of people are taking the Saints in this game over the Seahawks. The over-under is 48. This game opened at 3.5 for Seattle. It's now down to 2.5 for Seattle. I feel really good about this game. I'm going to super lock in the Seahawks.
Super lock.
Yeah.
New Orleans has yet to cover a game at home. They've covered every game on the road.
Yeah, it's weird.
That's like, really strange.
We were talking about it. DVOA has a great...
That's actually not true.
What game do they cover at home?
At the Panthers.
Didn't they beat the Panthers
on
the road?
That was a super lock in mind.
My fault then. My bad.
Still, though, it's...
But they've covered every game on the road, haven't they?
They
covered last week.
They covered last week. They covered against the Giants. They covered in San Diego. And, yeah,
that's it. Yeah. No, look, they're...
Only week one, yeah, you're right.
There's the variance ranking on Football Outsiders that kind of tells you how consistent a team has been on a week-to-week basis. And right now they have the second most consistent offense in football.
The Saints?
The Saints, which shouldn't be overly surprising, but for the way people freak out, and I guess the stats bear it out the last couple seasons, but, like, I think it's all about how you interpret the information. They go from being an elite offense to being, like, a above-average offense. It's not like they become a bad offense on the road. But they've been awesome this season. But my concern here is just, is this finally the thing that fixes Russell Wilson? Like, he has not looked good.
No, I actually don't even think that Russell Wilson plays, like, has tremendous stats in this game. I think that
Kristen Michael game?
I think Kristen Michael just eats these guys up. Like, they can't stop anyone. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter, like, the talent of the guy on the other side of the field. Running backs just destroy the New Orleans Saints, and they're not going to have a pass rush, and that's the way to get to Seattle. Russell Wilson's going to be upright, and don't – I mean, Tim, this is going to be your favorite thing. Jimmy Graham's playing in a revenge game here.
That is a nice factor.
You know he's going to score a touchdown. You know he is.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Saints –
That might be the only 7 points they score,
and
sort of thing.
You really think this
– No, but I don't think the Seahawks are going to win. I don't think they're good enough to win in New Orleans right now.
No, I just don't – okay, I don't think New Orleans is any good. I think they're a very, very mediocre team. They're average. They can put up some points. They're not going to stop anyone. They probably have the worst defense in the league. I think the Seahawks aren't going to necessarily shut them down. I think the Saints probably put up 20, but I just don't see any way they just don't stop anyone. They couldn't stop Kansas City, who threw the ball like 3 yards down the field, a clip.
They're a worse version of San Diego, basically.
But they beat San Diego.
I know. It's a strange year.
Before Bosa came back.
He looks good.
Yeah, Bosa does look good.
Yeah.
They probably should have had him going. So you're taking New Orleans here?
Yeah, I'm taking the Saints at home as a short home dog. Never going to take a short road favorite, particularly a team that has trouble scoring, which the Seahawks do.
Taking the Saints.
You're taking the Saints too, Garion? Siding with Tim, the plus 2.5.
It's the only way to play that game.
Only way to play the game.
It's got to be the right side.
The hat doesn't lie.
Only way to play the game. Camp at the other side. They won't let you.
Oh,
can't
well,
do it.
Vegas wants you to. Vegas is demanding.
Well,
you step
clearly
in
not, since more people are betting on the Saints and they're betting on the Seahawks.
We'll see come Sunday what the numbers are.
All right, the line will probably change before that happens. This might be your last chance to get the 2.5. It might go back up to -3 or -3.5, or maybe maybe it goes
free
to a pick'em.
Money this week.
Free money. Why don't you super lock in the Saints and go head to head?
No, I got one other free.
I thought super lock it in. Why don't you do it? No, you're too afraid.
I'm not letting because. As you said last week, I was getting in your head. I refuse to let you get in my head.
I already got in your head. Yeah, I mean, you finally had to admit what your name was. After years of living in, like, mystery and not knowing what your actual name was, you finally come to terms with it.
I've been living in that half-night, half-day dream from Mulholland Drive.
Yes, although
and
it's very
now
seen, it's not a half.
I've seen old Greg around the corner now.
I mean, that guy is far more terrifying than old Greg. That might be one of the most terrifying scenes in any movie ever.
It starts getting terrifying when he looks up from the booth and the guy is standing in the exact spot he always envisions him standing.
Yeah.
You know right there and then things are going off the rails.
Have you ever seen Mulholland Drive?
I have not.
Oh, man. Mulholland Drive is so legit.
Scene where the guy spits out his espresso for no reason are the two weirdest scenes I can imagine.
When they go to Club Silencio.
That's also very
it's just
strange.
It's a David Lynch movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a Lynch movie.
Yeah, it's just the weirdest thing ever.
Like, why does he spit out the espresso? It isn't clear to me why that happens.
That is your main takeaway from that movie, is that you're not clear why the guy spit out the espresso. And the whole movie basically makes no sense.
Well, okay, but that just that part of that scene makes no sense.
Didn't like the espresso. What do you want him to do? Hates it.
But old Greg around the corner, that's kind of how I feel about that.
So I'm going with Seahawks. I have super locked them in. You're going with the Saints?
Yes.
I reserved my right. I didn't look at the games below this one. I stopped there and super locked in. We'll see if I like one more.
That's the best way to go, by the way. I always – the first game I like, a couple of times this year I have gone against my first intuition. I lost. So.
Oh. New England at Buffalo. The Bills are getting 6.5 at home. Shady McCoy, he's got to be 100% now. Rex Ryan thought he was 100% last week when they played him. Only person in the world who didn't realize Shady was hurt, apparently.
Yeah. That was bad.
Yeah, that wasn't good. And I doubt, I mean, he's not practicing yet this week.
He can't play this week.
I think it would be to their benefit if they sit him.
Oh, yeah, just from an optics perspective. They cannot play this guy this week.
Has to this week. This is their biggest game of the year. They win this game, they've got every chance to win the division. They have to play this game.
Even if they win this game, by sacrificing Shady the way they're going to have to sacrifice him, it doesn't matter. You're throwing away the rest of your season.
How about this? How about if you play him, he's probably not going to be any good because he's hurt.
Yeah, that too.
We saw that last week.
Yeah.
And then all they accomplished in the game was making him more hurt. He's your best player. You have to sit him down if he's not 100%. You need him. And this is a game, listen, the Bills aren't winning the division. They should be worried about the wild card. This is a game they're probably going to lose either way. They're probably going to lose next week to the Seahawks, too. Sit him out for 2 weeks, get him healthy. We saw this exact situation last season when they played him through the hamstring injury, and he was terrible. They sat him out for 2 weeks. He came back, one of the best running backs in the league. Who would have thunk? Get a healthy Shady in there, and your team and your offense is pretty good. I don't know. I'm taking the Patriots on the road, -6.5. I don't think Buffalo has it in them. I just think they're too beat up. And their defense was gashed against the Dolphins.
Can't stop J.H.I.
LeGarrette Blount's going to have a big week this week. Big week. Huge, Tim. Huge. They got the best runs. They got the worst defense on the other side. The other guys are a bunch of losers on the other side of the ball. So Garion's going to make his pick before you tell us why the Bills are going to win this game. Oh, you're also taking the Patriots. Have you picked away every game?
No, I picked... I think the Saints at home.
Okay, so Tim, why is Buffalo going to win this game? And you can't and you can't say because you want them to win the division because you hate New England.
I actually think the Patriots will win by 4 points, which means I think the Bills will cover. Because I think both of these teams can put up a lot of points, and I don't think...
Why do you think that the Bills can put up a lot of points?
Because they have done it on multiple occasions.
They don't have their best player at 100%.
They still have Tyrod Taylor, who he's playing good football. Goodwin is going to kill the Patriots deep for at least one deep one because the Patriots are not a good team in the secondary.
If the second name you are listing about a team's offense is Marquise Goodwin.
But the Packers' Phillip offense is terrible. The Bills' offense, high octane.
McCoy will play, and I think Gillis Lee, when he needs to sub in, or even if he takes the predominance of the snaps, will be just fine.
So then why would you even dress McCoy?
There is no coach in the league who is a better strategist against Bill Belichick and has got a better just track record up against Bill Belichick than Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan has beaten Belichick in several tough spots. He thrives on setting himself up against Belichick. He takes these games more seriously, I think, than any other games of the year.
That's good from a head coach, by the way. I'm taking this game more, this random regular season game, I'm taking this one more seriously. Shouldn't he be taking everything as serious as possible every week?
Well, but this is not a debate about what he ought to be doing. It's a debate about what he does do, and he does care mostly about. He's obsessed with Belichick, and for the most part, he beat Belichick in the time they ever played in the playoffs, for example, in New England. The guy knows how to scheme against the Patriots. And when these teams played 4 weeks ago, it was 16 donut. You can say, yeah, Jacoby Brissett played, but they scored a lot of points on Houston the week before. It's intellectually dishonest to throw out that 16-0 game and pretend like it didn't happen. Like, you can put caveats around it that some aspects of it have to be disconsidered because of the fact Brady didn't play, but I actually think you have to consider some aspects of what happened on the other side of the ball. And, the Patriots' defense didn't play very, very good football.
They gave up 16 points. If the Bills because score the Bills 16 points in this game, they're going to lose this game.
Because the Bills decided to ground the game out.
Which they can't do this time because McCoy's not healthy.
But he will play.
So what? So what if he plays? He's not near 100%. He is not going to be effective on the ground, and you happen to think that Mike Gillisley is just as good as LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, I didn't realize you have a degree in medicine, that you know exactly how healthy McCoy is before this game. I apologize. Come on. We don't know what McCoy's situation is. If Rex says he's ready to go, then he's ready to go.
He said that last week there, Tim. And was he ready to go? No. No, he was not.
He was, and he re-aggravated it. These things can't be anticipated.
Really, it could not be anticipated. Every single report before the game, Shady can't cut. Shady looks slow. Shady looks injured. No, he's 100%, though. Thanks.
I'm with the Bills on this game. It's going to be a Patriots win close, but in a game where I don't know if either team can really stop the other's offense, it's a last possession wins, and I think the Patriots do.
If the Patriots have beat the Bills the first time around, I might be inclined to agree with you. But I just don't see the Bills going... The Patriots are going to come out and stomp them. That's what this game feels like to me.
Okay. Well, I mean, you're entitled to your opinion. We shall see.
I'm not. I have to trust the hat.
You are not. You've taken your opinion out of the equation.
Hat loves New England.
Hat does love New England.
New York Jets at the Cleveland Browns. The Jets are 3-point favorites on the road. It looks like Josh McCown will be back for the Cleveland Browns. Ryan Fitzpatrick in a coming off the bench, hulking up, although Hollywood Hogan's not on the other side of the ball anymore, which is too bad. But the Fitzmagic, he's got it going. Last time he was benched and came back, he threw for 6 touchdowns. Maybe he'll do that again this week. Who knows? But, Tim,
I hope so.
Tim, the Jets, they're sneaking back into the AFC wild card, aren't they?
Well, if you look at the schedule, they've got the next several weeks against Cleveland, Miami, San Francisco, L.A. You know, they could be 6-5 or 7-5 here in a stretch. And if, as usual, we split against the Patriots, then all we have left to do is win 2 other games, one against the Colts. Colts don't seem to be particularly good. And maybe that last game of the season against Buffalo might be for something. I don't know. I mean, the Jets can afford to lose one more game the rest of the season.
You've come a long way from they're going to have the first overall pick 7 days
ago.
Well,
because Geno Smith is no longer playing. I mean, when the facts change.
Let me ask you this, Tim. What's the Jets' record with Geno Smith as a starter this season? I believe it's undefeated.
Yeah, but he only played half that game. They were losing when he left that game.
Yeah, they won the game, though. Great winner. When you start Geno Smith, you win games.
He inspires his teammates to be
I don't
better.
Really have much respect for this economist. John Maynard Keynes once said, you know, when the facts change, I change my opinion. And the facts have changed that Geno Smith's no longer the quarterback, so I have to change my opinion a little bit about the Jets' chances. And the defense played great. I have to give it up to the defense. They showed up in a way that I'm hoping, perhaps, that in my own way, the sort of negative things I said about them last week maybe spurred them forward to sort of showing up at home.
They really did take care of an injured Joe Flacco.
Yeah, did you write it on the message boards? Is that how they knew about it? Or did you tweet, at New York Jets, your defense is cussed. I think you are the worst. Play better. And they got really inspired.
And I'm, you know, the Joker from Batman style. I'm about to break my own rules here because the Jets will be my suicide pick this week.
You're taking a road Jets team.
Well, I'm down to, you know, 7 teams are out of my hands already. And so I didn't have a lot of options to begin with. The only home team this week that I was considering was the Broncos. The more I thought about that is I'm not so sure the Chargers aren't just the better team. And so that was it. I mean, I was looking at home teams I liked this week, and there weren't any other than the Broncos, and I just can't justify. I was thinking maybe even taking the Panthers, but I already took them earlier this year. So I was out of options, and so I figured, you know, when in doubt, pick against the Browns. Everyone else is losing to them.
The Browns aren't going 0-16. I don't believe that.
Listen,
that's not off the table. But it's hard for me to believe, just with the random chance of the NFL, that they don't win a game somewhere down the line. This is one of their winnable games.
And of the two games, they've actually looked good.
This is also a spot for me to use the Jets. I mean,
are you taking the Jets against the spread, the -3?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Of the two games, they actually looked good. One was against Miami, and then one was a game started by Josh McCown. Like, this offense is, I don't want to say credible when McCown's behind center, but, like, it's an NFL offense.
I guess the one thing that worries me about their offense against the Jets is the one thing that Cleveland does reasonably well is run the ball, and the Jets are very good against the run.
That's true. I mean,
unless they're playing David Johnson, of course. But he sucks.
I said that night he was going to tear them up.
No, I think this is a good spot for Fitzmagic, too. He's a guy who's going to take his shots. I mean, this season, he's top 10 in the league in ADOT. Last season, he was top 10 in the league in ADOT. He's going to try to throw the ball downfield, and the Browns.
And I like the way he was talking about the Jets, you know, coaching staff and managerial staff. He's like, they have no confidence in me. They don't believe in me. I like that sort of rebelliousness. I think that has spurred him towards playing some good football. So, you know, if he wants to play football again next season, won't be in New York. If he wants to play football again next season, you know, he needs to show something in the next few games. And so I think he's got extra motivation.
It's a big game. Like, the Browns have given up the second most 20-plus yard passing plays this league in the year. Like, the third most 40-plus passing yard plays.
You mentioned A.J. Green. I feel like Brandon Marshall is going to go to town in this game.
Robbie Anderson's going to score a touchdown.
You think so?
Robbie Anderson.
Yeah, I don't think that Marshall's going to go to town in this game at all.
Why?
The Browns, the only creditable receiver that the Jets have is Marshall. And, you know, the Browns coaches get paid. They'll do what they can to take Marshall out of it. So I'm not too worried about that.
Are we sure they didn't just let Hugh Jackson be head coach and that was enough for him?
he's their only coach. Oh, let me ask you this. There's rumors that
pick this game. Actually.
Yeah, pick the game out of the hat. Joe Thomas is apparently on the trading block. What do you think you would have to give up for Joe Thomas?
Probably not much. Probably, I don't know, the way trades work in the NFL these days, probably a third-round pick at most.
If you had the cap space, why wouldn't you do that? No matter who you are.
I don't know why you wouldn't, unless you already had a stacked, like if you were the Cowboys.
I don't even care if you do have a stacked offensive line.
If you were the Vikings, for example.
I don't think the Vikings have the cap room to do it. I think they're right up against the cap.
Fair enough. Or if you were, who else is it? Like Seattle, whose offensive line is a sieve. Like those
they
are two teams that would make
the cap, though,
I don't think they are. I think
they're not
paying
everyone in the Legion of Boom.
I think they can rework deals in a way that
they just
like,
gave Wilson a massive contract too.
Wilson,
I'm taking the Jets.
You're taking the Jets. Yeah. I don't know. It seems to me that like including Cleveland, 32 teams could use Joe Thomas.
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, how many of these teams are legitimately going to make a move?
What about the Chargers?
I don't think they're going to.
I don't think they're going to either. But doesn't that seem like a smart destination?
If I were a team. I would rather if I were the Chiefs go after him or the Titans, a team that's so running dependent.
The Colts?
Has a chance at the playoffs. Yeah, the Colts would make a lot of sense, too. Although they're not as running dependent.
But
he
would be a great pass protector. Yeah, no, I think he would be, you know, he's a valuable trade chip.
And if it's all it's going to cost you is a third-round pick, maybe let's say a second-round pick and a fourth the following year or something like that with the ability.
If you eat all the money, you won't get that much.
What's that?
You have to eat all his money. You're not going to get that much.
But even if you had to eat all the money, isn't he worth all the money? Isn't there, like, there's so few guys in football. Like, a lot of people get paid weird amounts in football. And eventually you can cut them if they have a bad year, whatever. He's one of the few guys that is actually worth the money.
Yeah,
and,
like,
and I think he's played every snap in his career.
You're saying the Eagles, and you just lost your great your tackle, and you're, you know, one of the very best teams in the NFL and could use a replacement. You know, Joe Thomas would fit in perfectly.
Yeah. I'm going to take the Jets as well. Round of Jets!
Ring that bell.
I don't love it, but
it's clear.
What's the over-under in this game? 43.5? This game could go over.
Oh, definitely.
I one thing I'm happy about is that Pryor might, you know, look more like Pryor did a bit earlier in the season, although he's still dealing with the groin injury. I feel like McCown can get him the ball.
Yeah, sure.
Better than Cody Kessler or Hollywood Hogan.
He was so bad in that game.
That guy was terrible. He was good at running.
Yeah, but then they figured that out.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is the only thing I can do. We're going to stop that.
Well, he was coming in
I actually think he'll be better as his career progresses.
He's not going to have a career.
Okay. Oh, listen, the kid played great at Stanford. If you remember last year, he was the one who picked apart Notre Dame in the last game of the season.
I'm aware of that.
He doesn't get to play Notre Dame anymore, Tim. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
He's sorry, all too. Right. Notre Dame sucks
this year. Hey, Tim Tebow was good in college, but Tim Tebow wasn't given a chance by Tim, but Hogan is going to be great.
Tim Tebow was given a chance. He won a playoff game.
Yeah, but you didn't give him a chance.
You're right. I didn't.
It's going to let him into your heart, Tim.
Sorry, I didn't think the jump pass was going to convert to the NFL.
Someone threw a jump pass the other day, and it worked. It was someone really terrible. I forget. It was someone 2 weeks ago. I can't really
remember. It only works once.
Hey, jump passes. It's a play. It works. It's a great play. It's huge. It's going to be huge, Tim.
Everything's rigged against the jump pass.
Is it? It's just rigged. Yep. Doesn't work? Rigged.
Sean Hannity says so.
Yeah, well, he'll karate chop you when you're not looking.
Did you see the Tebow interview? Yeah, I think it was with Stephen A. Smith.
Oh, the gold.
No.
And Stephen A. Smith was just getting on his case, like, why are you playing football, all this stuff, or why are you playing baseball? He's like, because I want to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if I had seen an interview between Stephen A. Smith and Tim Tebow, that would have been a hard pass for me.
I like Stephen A. Smith.
I do not.
I know
like
you
Stephen
don't. I just enjoy how much everyone hates his guts.
I don't hate him. I just think he's phony.
No, everyone does not hate his guts. He is very... He's very close personal friends with most people. I know LeBron.
Who was it that he threatened? Was it LeBron he threatened?
Somebody he only talks about seven athletes, so let's pick one. If it wasn't Tim Tebow or LeBron James or David Ortiz.
Somebody that he's like, you don't want to anger my people. He's sort of like threatening. I was like, what are you doing?
Anyway, I thought Tebow made a good point. He's like, a lot of people just show up to their 9-to-5 jobs and go about their business. They don't strive to do anything. He's like, I want to try out baseball, and I have the opportunity. Yeah. Why wouldn't I do this?
I still don't understand why people are freaking out about it. He's a great athlete. There's, again, the last 5 or 6 rounds of the MLB draft are basically just favors that other owners do for other owners.
Please draft my nephew.
Can you draft my son? I've been a scout in this organization for 12 years.
That's how Mike Piazza got drafted.
It is.
And look at him now.
Those generally don't work out that way, though.
Back knee free since 2003.
That's a very controversial topic.
Oakland at Tampa Bay. Tim.
Super Bowl rematch.
Yeah.
From what?
2002.
2002?
Barrett,
I remember because Penn and
ran into Mexico.
One of the pregame festivities was Penn and Teller predicted the game and then put it in like this iron tube and then rang it up a flagpole and it was great.
And predicted Dexter Jackson would be MVP.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's still as good as the hat.
Doesn't beat the hat.
Doesn't beat the hat at all. You should see this hat, Tim. It's sparkly. It looks like the one the Notre Dame midget wears.
Oh,
it does, doesn't it?
Well, that one's green, but yeah, it does look.
He's not a midget.
Similar.
He's a leprechaun.
Same thing. Isn't it just not a different class of dwarfism? Leprechaun and midget?
Yeah.
Am I going to get in trouble for saying midget?
I'm not. You said it.
I don't think so.
No, I think you are. I'm going to blame it on you. You were the one who told me to say it.
A dog has shifty eyes.
If I've learned anything from the last couple of months, it's when you're a star, you can say anything.
And you are a star, that's true.
You're a man of people.
Now that Feinberg's gone, you are the biggest star the Pat Mayo Hour has.
Oh, Lord. I don't know if that's true.
People demand a Tim Anderkuss spinoff show, which would be the worst thing in history, but...
Yeah, it would be good for, like, one episode.
So he has become his favorite character. He is now Creed.
He is, yeah. He's the side character he thinks needs to have their own full hour.
Like, I was watching South Park last night. I thought I could watch an entire Member Berries episode.
Oh, my God. I thought it was drawn a bit thin by towards the end of it.
I liked when they were grooving in their little car. And the guy tied up in the back that they're going to kill.
Remember what we're going to do to you? Oh, I remember.
Remember it's Cloud City again?
Oh, Cloud City.
Listening to Africa by Toto.
Remember the song? Oh, this song's great.
I remember.
All right. You going to live over there?
I'm trying.
Oakland at Tampa Bay. This game opened as a pick'em. It's now -1.5 for Tampa Bay. Tampa's coming off wins against Carolina. They're coming off wins against San Francisco. Both games I picked correctly. Oakland has been sort of my Achilles heel in a way, but I think I picked them right the last 3 weeks now. And this was the team that I kept getting confused with New Orleans. It's Oakland that hasn't covered a game at home and covered every game on the road, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now that they are getting 1.5, I'm going to take Oakland.
I'm right there with you.
I think they're the better team. And it's questionable as to what Tampa's trying to do. Like, I understand why they're doing what they're doing. They've moved to a much heavier run-based offense.
They're still just running a lot of plays.
Well, that too, but they've their last 3 weeks, they're only running at a 50%. It's an exact split. It's 50% pass, 50% run. They're the fifth lowest pass ratio in the league because Jameis was just turning the ball over too much. And he's had good games and great matchups. But
he is the quintessential, if he has a good matchup, Jameis and fantasy guy.
Yeah, but... I mean, it's not even like Doug Martin's on this team currently. It's not like Charles Sims is on this team currently. Jaquizz Rodgers is getting 34 touches a game, and it's working, but I feel like that's not going to work every single week. He'll have a good game this week.
It should work against Oakland. They're 28th in run DVOA.
Look, I'm not like – I think that Mike Evans is going to have a huge game. I think that
– Huge.
Huge. I think that all the pieces you would play from a fantasy perspective in this game are going to be fine. I just think that – from a real-life standpoint, I feel like Tampa running that type of offense and relying that much – on a guy who was in street clothes to start the season, I would take the Raiders.
But the hat says
Raiders.
Raiders, round of Raiders.
Did Tim pick?
Yeah, Tim picked.
Yeah,
Raiders.
I picked the Raiders. Bill Callahan's not here to throw this game away for Oakland this time.
Hey, now that I've picked Oakland, Raiders fans won't be real butthurt. Can we do a butthurt fan base power rankings when you pick against
Raiders
their team?
Is it Raiders
or Vikings?
It's unfortunate that Toronto doesn't have a football team.
No, it's very fortunate Toronto doesn't have a football team.
I'm just saying they would be the most butthurt.
They're the most butthurt by everything ever.
I know. It's great.
Oh, no backup team! That's because you never fucking win. No shit you're going to lose because you lose at everything. Sorry, Toronto fans. I live here. I see it every day, and it makes me mad.
Yep.
Yeah, Tim, Vikings fans get on your case when you say that they're not great, don't you?
Within seconds, and of course, they really took at me last week when I said I thought the Eagles were going to beat them. You have no idea what you're talking about. You're just this, and that. Interestingly enough, it was radio silence the last few days as the Vikings were destroyed as the semi-frauds that they are. So, I mean, maybe those people are, waking up to the reality. I don't know.
It's all they have, though.
I was looking at
Panthers fans used to go at me a lot, too. They've been quiet the last couple of weeks as well.
I mean, you could just like Cam. You don't have to like the Panthers. Just like Cam.
Patriots fans are. If Patriots fans knew how to write, they would attack me a lot too. But yeah.
Kansas City at Indianapolis. Kansas City is a 2.5-point favorite on the road. Luck. I mean, he was against Tennessee's D, which had been playing well, but he kind of carved them up. He looked really good in that game. He was able to stay upright, and when you get Andrew Luck a chance to be upright, he's going to be really good. Yeah. He was not pressured on 41% of his dropbacks like he had been for the rest of the season. I don't know what happened to Tennessee's pass rush. Or
hey, what happened? I got a real red wagon.
Just crack it. This, okay, if Tim had his own show, this would be the show. He'd make esoteric movie references and laugh about it for 3 minutes.
But no one else would be there to say the things that he makes the references to.
Hey, what happened?
It would be him saying the things that he knew that he'd know would set up his own references he wanted to make. It'd be craziness.
Well, he is an insane person.
That's not true.
So this week, it looks like Moncrief could be back. That's not official yet, but Dorsett's probably going to play. Yeah. So they might have their full complement of offensive weapons back for the first time, basically since when Moncrief got her week two.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that has to help their offense a little bit. Their defense, you know, didn't look great because Mariota, you know, didn't look great at all. He went back to being, as soon as we bought back in on Mariota, he went back to being the Mariota we watched for like the first 5 weeks of the year.
It's not going out on a limb to assume that I'm 0-7 with any team this year because I'm over 30 games below 500 picking against the spread, but I am definitely 0-7 against the Titans.
Just can't get them.
I can't figure out this team.
So, Kansas City's look good. They're going to hand the ball off to Spencer Ware 30 times, and it's probably going to work.
They don't have a pass rush, though. And Justin Houston's not going to be back.
He's not going to be back this game. One of their guys is starting to generate a little bit. He was getting a Drew Brees. I forget who it was. Sorensen? Is that his name, or is that the guy who had the pick?
I think it's the guy who had the pick. You thinking of, like, D Ford or something?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. Their adjusted sack rate has them in the bottom 10 in the league. And again, it's a case of could they face a line so poor that they generate a pass rush? Sure, it's possible, but it's not something they've necessarily done well so far this season. And as you mentioned last week, that's kind of the key to beating the Colts. It's just if you get pressure. Like, he's going to get his. Luck will do his thing, but I don't know. I like Kansas City. I think they're the better team, but I would maybe be inclined to pick Indianapolis at home.
The over-under in this game is 50.5. Doesn't that seem really high?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
I know that, I mean, Kansas City has, I think, the worst pass defense in the league, weirdly enough.
One of the worst.
Yeah, but that's because that one Pittsburgh game really skews things, right?
And the Charger game, too. Yeah, they are actually, in terms of variance, we were talking about that earlier, they're one of the most capricious teams on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, it feels like the bye got them right, though. Like, they went into the bye, they come out, well, they've looked good for 2 weeks now. They beat the Saints and beat the Raiders, like, no big deal, but, you know, they've looked good in those
Raiders
games.
Might be a good team.
The Raiders are okay. Like, the Raiders,
yeah, like, the Raiders are a decent team.
They're what, a 7-9, 8-8, 9-7-ish team?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe even 10-6 if everything breaks right. So we shouldn't look down our nose at that loss. I say that because I am picking the Colts, actually, in this game. And in part because it's in Indy. And I prefer to bet on the Colts when they're in Indianapolis. And I've seen the Chiefs come in. You know, this is partly historical bias. I've seen the Chiefs come into Indy so many times and lose this game. And I just think, as you were describing, the Colts are getting themselves right and getting their offensive pieces correct. The Chiefs are another team that have trouble scoring unless they're being given short fields. And so I think, you know, if Luck can keep himself upright and, you know, can complete 2 or 3 touchdown passes, I don't think the Chiefs can beat them. I think they could. I mean, I shouldn't say I don't think they can. I don't think they're going to beat them at that point. I wrote the score down as 23-20 for Indianapolis, and so I like the Colts.
That's right around where I have the game, and I really don't know. I mean, it could very well be 23-20 Kansas City, couldn't it?
Yeah. No, it wouldn't. Like, I had to think about this game for a while.
If you're having trouble.
I'm thinking about what is.
I'm legally obligated to take Kansas City.
Okay.
So I will argue for Kansas City that there is a way in this game.
I thought you picked the home team.
No, I picked the away team.
Oh, you picked the away team. All right. Kansas City.
There's a very serious chance that Indianapolis just doesn't have the ball. Like, they have the worst run defense in the league, or one of the worst run defenses
in the
league.
It's them or New Orleans.
It's one of the two. And if you look at it just from the way they've been able to run the ball this season, like, Kansas City's almost averaging 5 yards per carry, regardless of who the running back is. And if they just want to keep this ball, and it's like you were saying, how that point total seems a little high. Like, Kansas City could just churn out hilariously long drives for the entirety of this game. And I don't know. Kansas City's defense has been better lately. Still not the best. And that Steeler game kind of sticks in your head a little bit, but, you know, they're a good team. They're a top five AFC team.
I guess the way that I'm looking at it, I'm really torn between, obviously, I think Luck is better than Alex Smith. I don't think you're going to find many people that are going to argue against that. Maddock's not on the show because he would, but he's probably the only one. But the AFC West just might be a really good division.
Yeah.
And the AFC South sucks.
Yeah.
Like, it's not good. So I think I'm just going to take the team from the better division by less than a field goal. I'll take Kansas City. I don't love it, though. It's not going to make my final five-pack for my super contest, but that way.
Yes, you know, it's a road short favorite, and those are deadly and have been this year, too. Deadly.
Yeah, but I think that the Lions have adjusted to the point, especially this week, where there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games that are 3 points or less. Like, I think they've really tightened up the lines because there's been a lot of these swing games, and you might be able to find some value on teams that may used to have been even on the road, like, you know, -4.5, -4. Those teams are now.
Well, the Seahawks game, I think, is a prime example of that. You would figure that would have been -5 or -5.5 in New Orleans.
Yeah, but people aren't buying the Seahawks.
People aren't buying the Seahawks because they've been watching them. But yeah, no, I see what you're saying.
No, what's the Seahawks record, though?
4-1-1.
Like, they've only lost one game, and if they don't lose this.
We all lost Monday night.
No, it's Sunday.
Monday night?
Oh, yeah, Sunday night.
I liked that game.
Monday morning.
I liked that game.
It was a fun game, too. Look, I enjoyed it, but oh, my God.
Everyone has the same takeaway from, like, man, that was – because everyone has this thing beat into their minds, like, oh, the NFL's ratings. No one watches the NFL anymore, which is
– nonsense.
It is absolute nonsense. Yeah, sure, the ratings have gone down a little bit. Still the most popular thing on TV.
And popular by a factor of, like, 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even close. People are like, oh, people love the NBA. You got a 2 rating on Tuesday night.
Oh, it's a niche sport.
Let's slow down.
Basketball is probably the second biggest, though.
Yeah, well, the World Series got a 12 rating. Yeah, so
what did the NBA Finals get, though?
Yeah, I bet you it didn't get a 12 rating.
I think it did because it was LeBron versus Steph.
Even then, I don't think it did. I mean, listen, I don't have the numbers in front of me, so I don't know. But I doubt that it did.
I thought this year's NBA Finals was historically high. I could be wrong.
Yeah, for basketball, sure.
Yeah, but I mean, when we compare the World Series to other World Series, the World Series has been on a decline regardless of what's going on.
Except
it's actually been up
year.
The last.
I think this year is exceptional.
This year? Yeah. It's
the Cubs.
The entire playoffs were up this year.
Really?
In comparison to the last couple
of years. The Cubs
are
dragging everything up, right?
I suppose so.
Yeah.
And you had the Red Sox
in round
one.
Yeah, you had the Red Sox, too.
You had the Dodgers.
But even, like, honestly, even, like, the Jays-Rangers games were up in comparison to last season in the same series. Like, it's been a better year for baseball.
No, good for baseball. Hopefully the NBA can seize hold to their fringy number 2 sport ranking. I get
well, it depends. If the sport turns into just people shooting threes all the time, it won't. Oh, does because no one likes watching people shoot threes. You know,
I like watching people hit threes, making it rain.
The game is far more enjoyable when it's inside out instead of outside in.
Listen, as long as people are still dunking and going in for, like, hilarious dunks over people, I'm good.
And with 2 nights of sample size, Tim, it's the return of the big men. Big men just
well,
doing
so.
Stuff.
I prefer when guys play with their back to the basket and actually, you know, play down low and actually
when
play
real. You
have
to go get the broom and poke the ball at a peach basket.
Tim is also anti 3-point line in general.
I'm one of those people who thinks it's hurt the game. Yes,
it's because he lost
fraudulent, meaningless, arbitrary line.
Tim, who is it you said would get more 3-pointers made than Steph Curry that one season?
Anthony Davis.
Because I thought Curry was hurt.
We all think a lot of things.
Davis finished with 0.
Yeah. Well, he did step back and make a few in college, which is why I thought. Anyway, does,
oh, he's making him. He's taking him now and making him now, but not four years ago.
I saw Brooke Lopez had a 3.
Yeah, Joel Embiid hitting 3s.
Oh my God, is Joel Embiid good?
He played 22 minutes, put up 20 points. He looked pretty good.
Did they win?
Kid was good in Kansas, but he hasn't played in a couple of years.
Yeah, but he played last night.
He played last night.
Yeah, he played last night.
Yeah, but he hit before last night. And one game doesn't tell me anything.
He's talented.
Okay.
He also went down awkwardly a couple times and got up.
San Diego at Denver, the 4 o'clock game. There's only 2 4 o'clock games this week. 5.5, the Chargers are getting on the road. 44 is the over-under, and people are pounding the Chargers, 62% of money, and I would tend to kind of agree with them here. I kind of like Chargers D for DFS. I think they're a better defense. Like, since Bosa showed up, he's good. He's really good. Good pick.
Yeah, it was a good pick. And I mean, Feinberg will tell you. Just go to his Twitter page, but he's... They've been picking well with these defensive players. Like, Perriman's really good. They hit on him in the second round.
Melvin Ingram's
like,
good.
They've got guys on this defense, and it's not even a completely healthy defense. Like, they've lost so many key players this season, but...
And they've lost those DBs, and I just don't think Denver can take advantage of that.
I don't know. Simeon's been good.
It's been all right.
I mean, they are a team that relies heavily on the run. They have the 8th lowest pass ratio of any team in the league. But, you know, when called upon, he's done what he's needed to do. It's not like he's been bad. In any game, I don't think.
Oh, do you know what Tim was actually telling me? Tim and I made a trade in our fantasy league a few weeks ago because he had so much running back depth that he had to make a trade. And now CJ Anderson, Ander cursed.
He'll be fine. He's tweeting today.
Apparently he's up for the year.
That was tweeted, and he quote-tweeted it and said, that's false.
Right now we have he doesn't have a torn ACL from this morning. Later on that morning, he told family friends that he's out for the season. He disputed that seconds later, then deleted that tweet, and then right before we came in here, apparently he just had surgery. So I don't know.
What a timeline.
It's been fun. So I hope
A-Rap sitting with Devonta Booker and won't trade him to me. He's 1-6.
Oh, and they're terrible
teams?
He's 1-6.
I'll pay any price.
Any price?
Just about. I don't care about next year.
Trade him this year. A-Rap, you know what you should do? Trade him Booker and Eric. Make Eric his co-manager.
I don't need that.
You said any price.
That is a high price.
So what are you feeling for this game? Like, I really kind of want to take the Chargers.
Oh, well, I will put you at ease. The Bolts are the better team, so I will take the Bolts.
Okay. Thank you for that.
To me, it's not controversial. The Chargers are the better football team. They just beat them 2 weeks ago in a game that was closer than it should have been because the Chargers tried to gag it away and didn't. These teams played each other very recently, so they know each other's tendencies quite well. Better than most divisional teams do because it's usually a much longer break between games. This one didn't. The game being in Denver doesn't mean anything to me. I mean, Atlanta went into Denver and beat them, so I don't think that's a fortress of solitude by any stretch of the imagination. I just think the Chargers are better. The Chargers are going to win. Simeon's no good.
The hat has spoken, and the hat says Denver is going to win.
Oh, Denver's going to cover the -5.5?
Exactly.
I got a really bad feel for this week.
I don't like this number, I'll say that. Like, I think that Denver's getting too many points here against a San Diego team that's a lot better than their record indicates.
Let me ask you this then, Tim. Instead of, because 5.5 is such a crap number, like I really hate it.
Yeah.
Do you think that if you're going to take the Chargers, just bet the money line? The money line's almost 2-1.
Yeah, I mean, with 5.5, you can't even really buy the hook for anything to matter.
Yeah,
I guess you're right. Like, if this was 3.5 or 4, you could buy a point or a half point, and I'd be happier with it. But
like, that doesn't this feel like a game where either the Chargers win and that's how they cover, or they just no show?
Yeah, I don't see them.
And Denver's D dominates.
I think you make a good point there. I think maybe playing them either on a teaser or betting them on the money line is the way to go.
Yeah, I'm going to take San Diego as well. I think that they win this game. That'd throw a real wrench into the AFC West.
Yeah, look, if
Oakland, KC, and San Diego win. And Denver loses?
Yeah.
We got a stew going then.
And then next Sunday night is Raiders-Broncos, so that'll be a good game.
Yes, I think the Broncos wax them. Remind me of that next week.
I will do that. Okay. No, I would take San Diego, but...
But you can't.
I can't take
the hat knows.
The hat
has you on the others. Tim and I, for the first time all year, are kind of on the same page on a lot of these games.
I'm terrified by that. I'm terrified by the fact that everyone... It's seemingly a very easy week so far, and I'm on the other side of everything.
Have nothing to lose, son.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. Now, how much worse could you be? The answer, none.
Not very well.
None more worse. You're the Mark Ingram of these picks.
I know. I'm the Melvin Gordon of these picks.
Jared
Cook.
Sucks.
Melvin Gordon does suck, but he's great at fantasy this year.
Because the Chargers are awesome.
Yeah.
He's always in the red zone.
I don't know if he's going to be so great in this game.
Well, the one game he didn't score a touchdown this season was the last game at Denver.
Arizona at Carolina. This game is throwing me for a loop. So Arizona is a 3-point dog on the road. Carolina's getting the -3. They're at home. They're coming off the bye. It's 47.5. People are pounding the Cardinals. I'm going to take the Panthers. I think a bye week does them well. I don't think Arizona's all that good. Clearly, I have been wrong about how good the Panthers have been, but I think that you get Cam healthier another week. You give him some time off, time to adjust. I just like the fact that they're coming off a bye, and I like the fact that Arizona got kind of embarrassed. I mean, it's a tie at home in a game they should have won.
Against a good team. Like Arizona right now, by any metric you can find, has the best defense in the NFL.
Sure.
Like, I think they definitively do something very, very well. And I'm surprised Carolina's favorite in this game. Were you not surprised to see Carolina with a natural?
I think that this reminds me a lot like that Vikings-Eagles spread of last week. This feels like a game where Arizona should be favored, and they're not, and it's at 3 points.
Unlike Minnesota, Arizona can score.
I guess the one thing I will say that if there's one sort of kryptonite to a really good defense, Cam Newton has this sort of skill set that breaks down what traditional defenses do really well.
Sure, I would agree with that. But right now they are allowing the second fewest points per drive. They're allowing the fewest yards per drive, the lowest drive success rate.
If Carolina gets to 20 points, do they win?
No.
Oh, really?
No. Like, what about Carolina's defense has shown to you they can keep Arizona under 24 points in this game?
Nothing but Carson Palmer.
What's going to be funny is when he pulls the Carolina ball out of the hat.
Oh, yeah, crap, I got to do that.
I hope you pull Carolina and the Star.
Ah, oh, I got Arizona.
Arizona it is.
Darn.
Did you write a Star on two of them?
Yeah.
You still haven't pulled
that
one
yet?
Out?
Yeah. It's either going to be, oh, God. Oh, God, I'm going to have to super lock in Chicago.
Well, we'll get to that. I got some feelings about that game.
So do I.
Yeah, I just this Carolina game seems off. So
we're both getting Narkley for Barkley.
It's Cutler.
Is Cutler gonna play? Okay.
Yeah, Cutler's been fine for like 3 weeks. They just benched him. Now all of a sudden, oh yeah, my hand's fine. He's outside smoking darts. He's good
to go.
Yeah. Carolina was -2.5 to open. All the money's piled in on Arizona. Now they're -3. Vegas is telling you that they want you to take the Cardinals in this game.
It's true. And
it feels like they're trying to suck me in. And I mean, it's funny because Tim locked in the Eagles last week, but the conversation that we had is this game a trap? It really feels like a trap, and Tim was the only one who had the guts to go the other way on it. I'm not falling into it this time. I'm taking Carolina.
We've had a couple of those, though. There was that game where Denver went to Tampa Bay, and it screamed Tampa Bay, and it was just like, I don't know, Denver's just a better team.
Fair enough.
And that was one of the six games I've gotten right this season. So I'm going to go with that logic and then go with the hat.
Yeah, but we've had it. Like, I'm trying to think of the biggest trap games we've seen this year. Like Minnesota.
Bills, Arizona, which
we talked about. This really seems like a trap. Tim had the guts to take Buffalo. We didn't have the guts to go the other way. I'm saying this one feels like a trap, so I'm going to take Carolina. Tim, who are you taking?
I want to hear Tim talk about Carolina. I want him to say nice things about Carolina.
Tim, you're taking Carolina, right?
I am going to take the Panthers in this game. I think they get right. In terms of this game, just... I don't think I can't trust the Cardinals to travel on the road right now and play a game. The last time we saw these two teams play, in the championship game, Carolina blew their doors off. And Arizona's no better than they were that night. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think I wrote the score down 31-16 for Carolina.
That's a blowout.
It's not a blowout. It's a decisive
two-score
win,
game.
But it's not a blowout.
We just said that 9 of these 13 games have a spread of less than 3. That's
a 15-point. Yeah, it's a two-score game. I think that Carolina is better, and they will win, in part because Arizona might have a wonderful defense, but their offense is bad and getting worse. And so, and no reason to believe in the Cardinals on the road here.
You have a piece of shit at running back.
That's Ooh. All.
David Johnson.
Yeah, he's terrible.
What a loser.
Terrible.
I don't think he won't do much this week against the Panthers defense, I predict. But anyway.
Would you like to make a bet on that?
No, not really. But I just don't think he's going to have a big week. That's all. I mean, you got to play him if you own him. He certainly would be somebody I would be avoiding in DFS, so.
Oh, really? I have him as my number one right
now. I think you can kind of get him at not. I don't want to say he's not going to be highly owned this week, but I feel like he'll be under-owned in comparison to most weeks.
Really?
Yeah, Panthers defense. People respect the Panthers defense.
I don't think it matters who David Johnson plays.
Although there is going to be a lot of people who just run out Johnson and Booker, because with the money you save with Booker, you can just play
Johnson
anyway.
There's some intriguing options on the board this week in DFS. Like, he's the most expensive guy.
Like
but
Julio Mike Evans stack?
Evans is $1,500 cheaper.
Yeah.
Than Julio, so it makes a lot of sense to go with Evans. But, Spencer Ware is below $7,000. Kristen Michael is just above $7,000. Ezekiel Elliott is $500 less than Johnson.
And you're playing Brock Osweiler quarterback anyway, so.
Yeah, or the Fitzmagic.
Yeah.
Actually, Jameis is probably the play. Or Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan's in a real chalk situation where I think he takes advantage of it. Anyway, so Arizona for Gary, you and I on the Panthers, Tim?
Yeah.
All right. Sunday nighter, Philly at Dallas. 4 is the number for Dallas right now.
I keep telling you, 7 is the number.
7 is the number?
7 is the number.
75% of money coming in on Dallas -4 coming off the bye week. 43 is the over-under. It feels like Dallas is going to win this game, doesn't it? They're just going to run all over Philly? What about Philly's offense has impressed anyone?
Not a whole lot, but I think this is, just as I thought last week, this is a big regression game for Prescott. I don't trust him, and I don't think the Cowboys are going to win the game because of it.
I guess the thing is, it could be a regression game from Prescott, and it may not matter because they might run the ball 40 times. It's a great way to protect his efficiency.
I think this Eagles defense is actually the best defense in the NFL. That's my opinion. I know that the stat states Arizona, and I think Seattle might be ahead of Philly still. I'm not sure if they still are.
And the Vikings, probably.
No, I don't think so.
Philly's top three in DVOA.
I think Philly is actually the best defense in football, and I see a Dallas team who their quarterback is a rookie, their running back is a rookie, and who can say what the condition of their best receiver is. I think the biggest mismatch is Philly defense versus Cowboys offense. I think Philly will do a fine job neutralizing the offensive attack. So the question then becomes, will Wentz and the Philly offense be able to take advantage of the defense? I think they will be able to enough. I wrote it down 27-23 for Philadelphia, and I might have given too many points to the Cowboys in that.
Well, I'll say this. Like, if you truly do believe that the Eagles defense is going to be able to shut down the Cowboy offense, the only – not the only thing. The Cowboy defense has been slightly better than I think we've all anticipated. But the only thing keeping that defense as good as it is the fact that the offense always has the ball. Like, they right now Dallas leads the league in time of possession.
Of course they do.
That is a massive boon to what is really a middle-of-the-pack to below-average defense. So if that's truly the game script you think is going to happen, I would agree that you should take Philly 100%.
I think it breaks down to really what happens very early in this game. If Dallas can score on its opening drive or the second drive of the game and get up 7-0, I don't think the Philly's going to be able to play from behind. Like, I just don't see what they're going to be able to do. Like, Wentz is all right. Dallas's defense is all right. Like, it's not bad.
No.
It's very middling.
Yeah.
And this offense is very middling. But if you force him to step back and I don't know, like, it's not like they did a ton against Minnesota. Not to say that Dallas's defense is Minnesota's defense, but it was, you know, the Eagles' D that really pounded Minnesota into the ground. And I just think that Dallas is going to be able to run. They're going to average like 4 yards a carry. They're going to keep the ball, and they're going to effectively run it down their throat. So I like Dallas here, -4. Garion, who's the hat like?
Yeah. The hat likes Dallas.
Hat likes Dallas on my side with this one. So you're super locking in the last game.
Yep.
And you're probably going to agree with Tim because he hasn't made a super lock yet.
Oh, God.
So
that's true.
We're going with the Monday night game. We have Minnesota on the road getting – they're -5, sorry. Chicago getting 5 points as a home dog. Jay Cutler likely back. Eddie Royal probably out. The over-under is 41 in this game. People love the Vikings because, you know, it's the Bears. Tim, why is Chicago your super lock?
Well, first I'll officially say it. Chicago is my super lock.
Super lock.
And there's a few reasons. The first of which is that this is a divisional game where the Bears are at home and they're getting more than a field goal. That's very enticing. Secondly, Cutler is back. I may be the last person on this island out there. I still think Jay Cutler is a good quarterback.
You hate Jay Cutler.
Yeah, you hate. It's me who likes Jay Cutler.
I still like Jay Cutler. I think he's a good quarterback. If he ended up in green and white next year, if he turned up in green and white next year, that wouldn't devastate me. Jay Cutler will help Alshon Jeffrey out considerably, I think, in this game.
Alshon's not doing anything in this game, man.
I disagree wholeheartedly.
Is that a bet you want to make?
No, but I disagree. The Bears are coming off an 11-day break where the Vikings are coming off an incredibly physical game and only having 7 days off. That's an interesting fact. And what was confirmed again last week is that the Vikings cannot score. They have no running game. They have no offensive line, and if Bradford regresses even a little bit, like, I mean, not nearly as badly as we saw last Sunday, but if Bradford plays certainly more poorly than he played the games leading up to that, the Vikings don't have a chance unless the defense is scoring and the special teams is scoring. And so given all these factors, given the fact that I think Bradford is going to continue to regress a little bit, won't be as bad as he was last week because the Bears are not as good as Philadelphia is, I just think that this is a complete... I don't know how you stand in front of Minnesota and bet them unless you've just completely given up on the Bears. But I
think most people have given up on the Bears.
Well, and I think that's why Vegas will be making a lot of money on Monday night when everybody and their dog has Minnesota attached to their parlay cards, Minnesota attached to their teasers, Minnesota attached to probably suicide picks, and this will all go pear-shaped as the Bears probably win the game, and they definitely cover.
Don't think that they win. I think Minnesota wins this game by 3. I will be taking Chicago as well. I would wait until Monday night, until Johnny Public has lost their shirt on Sunday,
exactly,
and trying to win all their money back with the Vikings. Like, this game opened at 6. It's dropped to 5, despite all the Vikings money coming in. This game's going to go to 7, maybe 7.5 by Monday night, I'd have to guess. And if it doesn't, you really want to bet Chicago.
What does the hat say?
Super lock, Garion, Chicago Bears.
Super lock.
Well, Garion gets to be right with a super lock for a change.
Hey, I've got 2 correct super locks. Let's not go overboard.
But you're taking a home favorite. See, this is how you know this is not a home dog.
Oh, it's definitely
that's how
the
you
hat,
know
yeah.
that this hat is not fixed.
I know.
he would never take a home.
Well, that's what happens when you're squarey and thorn.
That's a good one.
That was very good. I enjoyed that.
That was good. Although I jokingly tweeted something about it, and the guy thought I took it real personally. He started apologizing to me. It's okay.
Picks are bad, man.
Again, I don't bet on these games. It's fine with me.
I've been having a good year.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough. Despite the fact that my record's around 500, I really wish I had entered the real super contest this year. I'm playing one that's a $500 buy-in and one that's a $50 buy-in.
Yeah.
I'm killing it. Even the week that I went 5-11, I had 4 right in the super contest.
I'm getting into the super contest next year.
Nice. I've had a terrible year picking games. I've honestly had my best fantasy year probably ever.
Yeah, you're having a really good year.
Yeah, and even like DFS. It's working, so I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, fair enough. That's good.
I had Anthony Davis last night in DFS NBA.
Did you have Harden and or Westbrook too?
I had Harden and Davis. I dropped a 350.
What would that have won in like?
I finished like 100th in most big GPPs. So, but we're talking like $3-4 games. So I won like $13.
Bummer.
Yeah.
Should have been playing like the $5,000 contest.
It was opening night. I didn't want to invest too heavily. I should have though.
Yeah. Well, what are you gonna do? Guys, you don't need to choose between price and quality to get an amazing and affordable shave. DollarShaveClub.com is the answer to all your problems. And to prove how amazing their shave really is, right now they're going to give you the first month for free just to join the club. DollarShaveClub.com delivers amazing razors right to my door for a third of the price of what them greedy razor corporations charge. Seriously, I have no reason to deal with the drugstore hassle and the battle of locked up razors ever again. And neither will you if you join the club. So just go to DollarShaveClub.com and pick a razor that works for you from their lineup of amazing blades. That's all there is to it. I get a first-class shave when I use the Executive Blade. And when I use it with their Dr. Carver Shave Butter, the blade just gently glides for the smoothest shave ever. With Dollar Shave Club, you can look, smell, and shave like $1 million without paying for it. And here's your chance to see why over 3 million members like myself love Dollar Shave Club. Dollar Shave Club is so confident in the quality of all of their products, now you can get your first month of the club for free. Just pay the shipping. After that, a few bucks a month. No long-term commitment, no hidden fees. There's no reason not to do it. Get yours today at dollarshaveclub.com/mayo. That's dollarshaveclub.com/mayo. All right, Tim, at the end of every show now, as I start getting stuff ready for the Christmas holidays when I'm going to be gone but still need to play shows, I have asked the guest of the hour, and you're not a guest, you're the co-host.
Fair.
So the guest gets to pick any topic they want to talk about. So, Tim, the floor is yours.
So perhaps you guys can help me, because I wrote down about 4 separate...
No one can help you, Tim.
Well, perhaps I am beyond all possible hope. But I wrote down 3 things that we could talk about, and you guys can pick which of the 3 you like the best. The first one I wrote down is whether SNL is still as funny as it used to be today.
As compared to when?
Pick a time. Pick any time you want. Is it as funny as it used to be?
I feel like it's such a... Everyone has their own, like, era, though. You know? Like, everyone has their favorite 3-year
conversation.
Period.
All right, okay. So that's one of them.
Sure.
The second one had to do with a continuation of a conversation Gary and I had on Twitter, like, 3 weeks ago about a condiment ranking.
Oh, yeah.
Which we had some
fun with. That was longer ago, I believe.
Even longer than that?
I think that was during Chicago's last Monday Night Game.
Because you and I and the fella who is
Matt
fascinated
Best, yeah.
with the esports stuff, yeah.
The esports fella.
I mean, he works for a massive esports company now.
Well, there you go. So my joke's not in vain. And the third one was about books, but we already criticized books, so we'll leave that one aside.
That's because people can't read.
Yeah, so pick between those two. I'll be happy to discuss either.
Mm.
Let's pick the condiment rankings. Let's try to get this out here.
Okay.
So I'm just thinking, maybe not, are we saying which ones do we use more or what the best condiments
just
are?
Just a definitive best. Condiment ranking. Yeah.
Best.
See, though, I do attribute, like, when dividing these things in my head, I have a category for sort of, like, how often, like, yeah, use. Like, how often I would use this thing. I believe that is part of this conversation.
I would put sriracha number one. I use that the most of any condiment by far.
And I think it's a good condiment, too.
Also, 1/5 the calories of ketchup.
Yeah, you've mentioned that. Sriracha's up there. Like, I'm a big spicy mayo guy, but it's the same basic principle.
You
don't like mayonnaise, I know.
Mayonnaise is the worst place. Don't ever eat mayonnaise and don't put it on anything. Terrible.
I disagree with
terrible
that.
Terrible condiment.
What was your number one, Tim?
My number one is mustard.
I don't...
Mustard is my favorite condiment. That is a close first over... House of Parliament sauce or
you
A1 sauce.
HP sauce is in the rank is in the running for your number one condiment?
Steak sauce is my second.
That's like the most middle-of-the-road steak sauce there is.
Yeah, well, that's power rank breakfast. Tim's favorite breakfast, white bread and margarine with a glass of water for dipping.
Well, listen, I like steak sauce. I always have it.
HP sauce? Yeah, you're not a big A1 guy?
I said or A1. Either are fine. HP is better.
Well, you don't have a favorite between the two?
Oh, HP is the best. Of the two, HP
almost
is the best.
Period.
It's not better than mustard, because you can do so many things with mustard, like the Dijon.
Like not eat it?
Old grains.
I feel like if the thing you can do best with mustard is put it with other things
and
make something else.
Oh, I put mustard on a lot of stuff.
Like what? What abnormally do you put mustard on that would make it so good?
French fries, for example.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Okay. When I have potato salad, I like to mix mustard in my potato salad.
Potato salad's pretty gross anyway.
Or my egg salad sandwiches. I like to mix mustard in with those.
Mustard and eggs?
Yes, with egg salad.
Like, I get queasy when people put ketchup on their eggs. But
I don't like... Well, see, ketchup would be low on my list.
Mine too.
I like ketchup.
I only use ketchup for hot dogs, which is not even something that most people use ketchup for.
Or things that adults eat.
What else?
Do you go to a baseball game and get a hot dog? That's just kind of like
salsa to me was very high on my list.
You say salt?
Salsa.
Is salsa a condiment, though?
Yeah.
Ooh, salsa?
I feel like salsa is like a side dish.
A side dish?
Well, it's basically like a salad.
You go to a burrito.
You're not eating salsa.
No,
on its
but
own.
This is what I would say.
Salsa is put on your meal, or it's put on your chip.
Yeah, but salsa is the only one of these things. Like, I'm not going to get a chip and put ketchup on it. I'm not going to get a chip, and it's like it's part of that meal. It's not just it's salsa and chips.
That's like saying sour cream is a meal. Sour cream is something you would put on a nacho chip, for example.
Not just a chip though. Not just a tortilla chip. I wouldn't cover that with sour cream.
I think that salsa is a condiment.
Thank you.
I'm siding with Tim on this one.
And hamburger relish, that was on my list.
Relish?
But relish only used for one thing.
Relish is disgusting.
Relish is very good.
Just like tartar sauce.
And, well, actually, I like tartar sauce.
So, basically, you just like condiments.
No, I don't like all
condiments. You like every
they're
condiment.
They're the spice of life.
They're all tied for number one because they're all great.
No, I'm trying
What do you
to
put
get...
on a popcorn sandwich?
Oh, it's mustard. Mayonnaise. Mustard, of course.
No,
he does put mayonnaise on it because the bread's too dry.
I haven't had one of those in like
Tim,
eight.
did you or did you not say that you put mayonnaise on your popcorn sandwiches because the bread is too dry?
Yes, of course I said that, and that was true, but it's been 8 years since I've had one of those.
Yeah, you have a very bad time frame when it comes to judging this stuff. 8 years seems a bit much, considering I don't think I knew you 8 years ago.
Yes, you did.
Did I?
He's choking
on relish. 8 years ago would be the Obama-McCain election.
So that was the year we met.
Yeah, we met like in the fall of that year.
I feel like I've known Tim for like 5 years.
Yeah, because Tim feels like he's 78 years old.
Right.
Yeah,
years are different. One regular year of knowing Tim is like knowing him for 10.
Yeah, I'm like Mork, where I age in a way that most people don't, right? In reverse.
Exactly. I mean, Mork and Mindy was canceled a good 15 years before Tim was born.
Yeah, but I've seen every episode.
Oh, God.
So that was my ranking.
So what was your number one? Mustard? Followed
mustard.
By relish and HP sauce?
Mustard, HP sauce, salsa, relish, and round out my top five, I have soy sauce.
I mean, I like soy sauce.
Is soy
it's
sauce
a
condiment?
Sometimes.
Of course it's
yeah.
Of course
if
it's
salsa
condiment.
Is a condiment, soy sauce is a condiment.
Isn't soy sauce just salt?
No, it's a sauce that you apply to your rice or to other Chinese dishes.
Does salt count as?
No. I feel like condiments have to be
seasoning.
Liquid in nature, don't they?
Salt is a seasoning, just as pepper would be.
Tim, would you say condiments have to be in liquid form?
Is MSG a condiment? I like MSG.
MSG is also
MSG.
I think that's also a seasoning.
Yeah.
I like soy sauce. If I'm eating rice, that's it.
Yeah, it doesn't... Well, I mean, a good, like, flank
don't a lot
steak
of people,
with
I'm
soy
not a big sushi fan,
good.
But don't a lot of people like soya with their sushi?
Don't
well?
Like sushi. Sushi.
Yeah, I don't care for sushi either, but I know a lot of people do.
I would have spicy mayo at number one.
Where's your barbecue sauce on here? I'm a big barbecue sauce.
I know barbecue sauce out there too.
Like barbecue sauce.
Sweet and sour sauce. I usually
enjoy. Don't love sweet and sour sauce.
There's certain like that's a Actually, this next one is the one where it's brand specific.
It's same as barbecue sauce, though. Like old school A&W barbecue sauce from like 15 years ago. That's the barbecue sauce you want to be.
McDonald's also has good barbecue sauce.
Oh, no. Diana's barbecue sauce.
Oh, Diana's
barbecue sauce
is
very good. But it depends on McDonald's where you go to. Like, for example, the Canadian barbecue sauce is different than the American barbecue sauce. The American barbecue sauce is disgusting.
Actually, Wendy's now has, with their chicken nuggets, they have a sriracha-based buffalo like dipping sauce. It's fantastic.
How about suicide sauce?
Yeah, sure. Isn't it just like hot sauce though, like Tabasco?
You can call it Tabasco. Like Tabasco.
No, Tabasco's not the same.
I don't like the flavoring of Tabasco. I like even though it's overused and everything at this point. Like I think Frank's has a nice flavor to it.
I hate Frank's.
Really, I hate Frank's.
Too watery.
I rather like Frank's.
There is a certain thickness to sriracha that I really appreciate about it.
It's fair. What about horseradish?
Mm. Ooh, horseradish is good. I love horseradish.
Big Caesar guy, Tim.
Like, pardon me?
I said you're a big Caesar guy?
But just, like, a fresh, like, if you have, like, a prime rib or something, to have fresh horseradish with your prime rib is absolutely phenomenal.
Is garlic a condiment?
No.
No.
It's a vegetable, isn't it?
It's a vegetable.
It's not. Is it a vegetable?
Isn't it?
It's a seasoning.
Yeah, but garlic is a vegetable, isn't it?
It can't.
Yes, it is.
Is it actually?
Well, what else would it be? It's not a fruit.
I guess. It's true, yeah.
Yeah, it grows in a bulb, right? It's sort of like an onion in that sense.
Oh.
I wouldn't call it. When it comes to like putting sauce on my steak, I don't like putting sauce on my steak. I like a dry rub on my steak.
See, I don't like sauce on my steak either.
I like marinating it in a nice sauce, but I'm not going to put anything on it once it's cooked.
Yeah, like marinate like Worcestershire sauce or something, right? It's really good. Yeah.
Actually, Diana has some good marinades. I generally use those. Plum sauce, though. Plum sauce is brand specific.
I find plum sauce, unless I'm having an egg and or spring roll, I'm out.
I like plum sauce with French fries.
What have you ever seen anybody eat plum sauce on other than an egg?
Garion just said he eats it with French fries. You eat with mustard.
No, I would say right now it's an order of hell of a lot of chicken fingers. More than I'm basically a child. But
hot dogs and chicken fingers.
Hot dogs and chicken fingers.
Cherry sauce is better with chicken fingers, in my opinion.
What sauce?
Cherry sauce.
Really?
Like the red sauce you get at Chinese places?
Well, no, that's sweet and sour sauce.
Yeah, that's good.
The red sauce.
Cherry sauce is also red. But it's made by the same companies that make plum sauce or whatever, but it's cherry-based. It's delicious.
I was just going to say that plum sauce is, I feel like, the main condiment you... Like, if you don't specify what condiment you want or what dip you want with your chicken fingers at a restaurant, you will get plum sauce. And inevitably, I end up using it on French fries.
Honey mustard, you think, is pretty popular.
Oh, honey mustard's up there.
How about honey?
Nah. Honey's great. That's a condiment, I think. People put that on peanut butter sandwiches sometimes, or people put it on their pancakes. I prefer it to syrup on my pancakes.
I prefer syrup on my pancakes.
No, I prefer.
I think I'd have ketchup
or molasses.
Ketchup. Molasses.
Yeah, molasses. I'm a fan of.
I just don't like
molasses on your pancakes. Are delicious.
Yeah, my problem with ketchup is not necessarily that I don't like it. It's that I think people use it for stupid things and it disgusts me.
I've seen people put ketchup on
pancakes. I know so many people, and
you know so many people that put ketchup on their pancakes.
A couple, but no, I know so many people who use ketchup on chicken. Like that's.
I know people who use ketchup for their steak.
Oh, that's why would you do that?
Because that's what some people do.
It's just weird.
That seems like a really low thing.
Yeah,
to do.
It seems real low rent.
It
like
really does.
Picking up the steak with your fork and just eating it just in a circle.
Remember that Curb episode where Larry invests in the restaurant and they get the chef to cook the nice meal, but Jeff has to have ketchup on his steak, and the chef freaks out.
Was that the one where the chef had Tourette's?
It is the same one, I do believe.
It's a good episode.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. And what I'll say about ketchup, I'm only really eating it on potato, like for French fries. Like, that's it. Like, if I have sweet potato fries, get some ketchup. If I have some French fries, get some ketchup.
Nah, sweet potato fries, you need to have a good, some sort of, spicy mayo or something.
I don't like mayo. Usually what I do if I'm going to use ketchup is I have, a dish at home, a little thing. I'll put some ketchup in it, then I'll have some sriracha that I'll squeeze in and mix it together.
I see, that's good.
But with the steak and ketchup, eggs and ketchup, and all that sort of thing... If it's the end of whatever I'm eating and there's ketchup left on the thing, I'll give it a quick dip to get the stuff off my plate. I'm not out of my way going to put it on what I'm eating. But if it's there, I feel like ketchup is pretty all-purpose for what you can use it on.
I would have it last because I think it's a gateway condiment. I think people.
I agree. It would be last for me as well.
It's a gateway condiment, yet Tim likes every other condiment ever made except for ketchup.
Also, how much ketchup is there in HP sauce? If we were just guessing to say right now, I'd say it's 30% ketchup. Really? Most barbecue sauces are pretty ketchup-based.
Barbecue sauce, but steak sauce is not a barbecue sauce. Steak sauce is a unique, flavorful zing that's like nothing else.
Are you being paid by the HP people?
Yeah, you've been told, just like when you had your Kleenex sponsorship, that you have to reveal to me if someone is paying you to mention these products.
No,
I want my cut.
It ain't like
that. I want my cut.
Jose, council people got to you, too.
And as I keep telling people every week, I'm for sale. I will happily hawk any product. Just pay me.
How about Chipotle sauce?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
That's actually what you should have with yours.
That's my favorite sauce on the subs at Subway.
The reason I switched to the sriracha alternative was a health-based decision.
Yeah.
Now, I like it. I do like to have something spicy, like to have some sort of condiment, and that seems to be the best one for best is probably a bad example. Not the worst one for you. The least bad for you of all the condiments. It feels like Chipotle sauce is just the worst.
Oh, probably.
It's probably like mayonnaise and ketchup.
It's that amazing brownish-orange color that all delicious things are, and that generally equates to it being terrible.
Like full-grain mustard is like almost, I think it's calorie-free.
Yeah, but then you have to eat mustard.
Like full-grain
Dijon
disgusting.
Mustard?
That's the best.
Yeah, I when you start getting to like Dijon mustard, I feel like that starts becoming worse for you. The one that you're talking about with like zero calories is like your Frenchie's
whole grain stuff.
Yeah, like your disgusting mustard that you would never ever use on anything.
Oh, I use it all the time.
Yeah, on your French fries, you already made that very clear.
On French fries, on chicken.
Chicken's not dry. On your pork chops, some dry pork chops and mustard.
No, it's only applesauce in my pork chops. Thank you very much.
Is applesauce a condiment? It would have to be, right?
It's more of a snack that people use as a garnish, as an addition.
Look, I don't know. I feel like we already crossed the line with salsa here. Like, salsa and applesauce.
No,
like, what's the difference between salsa and applesauce?
One's thicker.
Well, it depends how much you crush the apples, I would assume. How much you puree the tomatoes.
I just buy the can and scoop her on.
Excuse me, sir. Do you have any Grey Poupon?
What about, like...
Is Bailey's a condiment?
Bailey's? Bailey's goes with everything.
That's true.
What about, like, I don't know, like hummus?
Nah, I don't care for hummus.
Yeah, I'm not a big hummus guy.
I eat some...
It's chickpeas, basically.
I like guacamole.
Guacamole? I like guacamole, too. But
yeah,
now, I guess, is that really a condiment?
If salsa is a condiment, guac's a condiment.
It kind of reveals back to that. If salsa is a condiment, is guacamole, I guess it would have to be.
But I put guac on more things than just chips. Have you ever put guacamole on a hamburger? Excellent.
That's not that
I mean,
crazy,
I put
actually.
Avocado on my hamburger, so I really can't say anything.
Yeah, as far as like some people, I don't do this, but some people put peanut butter on their hamburgers as well.
That's weird.
Those people are insane.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you don't, as an insane person.
I've tried it. I just don't care for it.
A lot of people put eggs on their hamburgers,
don't
too.
Like
that is not uncommon. I'm not a big fan of it.
I've been introduced to putting an egg on your pizza.
Why?
Which, I don't know. It's
just adding eggs? Is eggs a condiment?
It's fancy, I guess. I don't know.
It's fancy?
I don't know.
Eggs on your pizza? What monstery.
I don't know. My girlfriend works in an Italian restaurant. She brought a pizza once. I was excited.
And Italians put eggs on their pizza?
Apparently.
Well, I mean, someone probably brought it up to them, and they were like, hey, you need to have a pizza and eggs.
There you go.
They were like, oh, my God, yeah, sure, whatever. Quit gesturing at me. Don't make me watch soccer, for the love of God.
Oh, Lord.
I think that's the biggest rift between my fiancé and I, is that I really don't like Italian food. I hate pasta. I hate it.
Oh, I care. I like it.
Too many carbs, Garion.
Lots of carbs.
Pat Mayo, not in on carbs.
No, or but there are healthier and less healthy carbohydrates, and you have pasta in particular ways. It's not bad for you.
I feel like just as a rule, just throw them out. You're doing a lot better for yourself in the anti-carb department. And then there's all these sauces, and like, no thanks. And they're like, oh, here, have some fancy pizza. I don't want fancy pizza. No. I want garbage. If I'm going to eat like crap, and I'm going to eat pizza, I'm going all in and eating like I'm going to Pizza Hut.
That's like, that circles back to
bowl of spaghetti bolognese or something like that. There's some good Italian food out there.
I just think this all circles back to the sort of like the baked chip argument, which is like, look, if I'm having chips, I've already decided I'm going to just
eat
like
chips.
Garbage today.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to have chips. Or the whole, like, oh, they've taken some MSG out of, like, the fries at McDonald's.
Love
it's like,
MSG.
It's like, no. If I'm having McDonald's,
KFC.
I'm going to have real McDonald's. I don't need 75% McDonald's.
They've ruined KFC. Now that the government has decided to intervene unnecessarily
anyway.
In the lives of free people and have taken away trans fats from Kentucky Fried Chicken and the
Tim has a big stance on how trans fat should be legal.
Of course they should be legal.
Now, this is a Canadian thing. Because the government's trying to look out for
it. Reduced in the United States as well. Like, as if you know, a self-governing free society of adults can't make decisions for themselves, that the nanny state has to tell them what they may or may not consume.
As someone, who's
dehumanizing.
As someone who's lived in America, I feel like there probably should be more regulation on food. Americans be fat.
So what? Liberty is more important.
Yeah, man, heart disease is not something to joke around about, Tim.
I'm not joking around about heart disease, but I'm saying a free, self-governing society ought not to be putting limits. The government does not know best what you ought to put into your system. The government that governs least almost always governs best. So and they've ruined KFC, and they've ruined classic foods that used to be really good that now they're not inedible, but they're not as good as they used to be because the state has once again intervened where it has no right to be and has destroyed things, and that really bothers me. But that's off the topic of this conversation.
So mustard's your favorite condiment?
Oh, mustard is the best condiment.
I think the government should step in on more things. No trans fat, no soccer. I'd be good to go. Make soccer illegal.
Ah, they just love it more.
You think so?
They would still find a way to get their soccer.
Well, they can go enjoy it from some other country.
What you do is you make the soccer balls illegal, right? It's like guns and ammo.
Like guns and ammo? You take
away
the bullets?
Ammo illegal.
Yeah, make the ammo illegal, and then you take away the soccer balls. They're not playing. If you just told them that they were taking away the soccer balls, they'd probably faint.
Their
only defense.
Stupid soccer.
Revived by the spray.
Stupid spray. The BMO soccer field in Toronto is like right outside of our building. And Toronto FC is in the playoffs. Go outside last night, and there's a playoff game. These people are walking around in their stupid fucking scarves. Like, oh, man.
You were once one of those people.
What?
Wearing a scarf for the soccer game.
It was at a bachelor party, and it was ironic. These people are dead serious about it.
Oh, I know. And it's the MLS. It'd be one thing if this was, like, somehow by some fluke that there was a Toronto English Premiership.
Yeah, you know what? That is a very fair point. If it was real soccer and a good soccer league, then I have no problem with it. But
that's better. If it was like a World Cup
MLS.
Game. But like, MLS, come on. That's like celebrating because your double-A baseball team won whatever the hell the double-A baseball championship is.
I don't actually know that.
I would assume it's called the double-A baseball. Is there even a championship? Or they just
run out the season? There is. You can win the Eastern League or whatever.
Like, what's the point? Certainly it's not something
you
gotta
play for
excited about.
Sure, but if you're in, like, I don't know, Norfolk, and that's all you got.
The Tides!
That's all you got, then yeah, I could see celebrating that. Toronto's teams.
Yeah.
And you're gravitating towards your MLS team because it's the only team that can win anything? Come on.
I keep saying that about Toronto. Like, they haven't had three teams in a conference championship in the last 18 months.
How did that turn out? Losers.
Still in the conference.
Losers.
I believe they won fewer than one of those.
Losers. Toronto City of losers. And their biggest team is, like, the worst team on earth, which is very funny to me.
Yeah, it's fair. I hate the Leafs.
Yeah. And you're from...
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Argonauts.
Watch them do a CFL championship. Way to go, Toronto. Best fans on earth.
Oh, yeah. Isn't the Grey Cup in Toronto this season?
It is.
Yeah,
like
it's at that same field that's outside.
Is it at the Sky Dome?
Now I'm going to have to, like, see people wearing, like, leather Saskatchewan Rough Riders jackets who just drove here for 21 hours to come to the big city to watch their CFL game.
Yeah.
You know why the CFL is better than the NFL? I got punched in the face once for getting into that argument in Calgary. Now,
yeah.
I've been punched in the face a lot of times in my life. Very punchable face, very loud mouth. It's going to go hand in hand. People just really want to.
Yeah.
It's usually when I'm not looking to. Cowards. They can't stand face to face with me and punch me. It's when I have to turn away after I've beaten them down with my verbal assault.
They just decide to sucker punch you?
Yeah.
It's a rough go.
Yeah. Got a good jaw. Have like four broken teeth, but you know, that stuff heals. I'm replaced.
Yeah, very Tyson-esque. A very granite jaw.
Granite jaw, yeah. My teeth aren't the strongest, but now they're super strong because they're like fake.
Your whole body, though. You fell off a building once.
I did fall off a building. Fine. Concussion. Had a three-way that night. Boom.
There you go.
I did. It was awesome.
You had so many scars from that?
I did. That was bad. You never want to fall off a roof and then go out drinking that night.
Nope. Well, that night.
I was in America. I couldn't afford to go to the hospital.
Yeah, too bad Obamacare didn't solve. All right, never mind. I'm not going to get into it.
I don't think Obamacare was around then. I don't think it was all the way past
2010. Yeah, I guess it didn't start getting quote unquote implemented until 2013. So okay, fair enough.
All right, I think we've covered enough for when we go away. There's like an entire show I can.
Did
replay.
We? Should we have a definitive number one that we've come up with together?
Mustard, apparently.
It's not going to be mustard.
HP sauce. Can we say we just like sriracha?
Yeah, sriracha.
Doesn't everyone
like
sriracha?
I'll be in on sriracha.
Tim?
Sriracha's okay. Yeah, it's okay.
It's no mustard. Or relish.
No, it's not any mustard. No mustard. It doesn't have the tanginess of HP sauce. But...
Where can I purchase this HP sauce, Tim?
At any of your fine grocery stores and or convenience stores.
You would buy condiments from convenience stores.
I actually,
do you do the majority of your shopping at convenience stores?
It's, without being sarcastic, of the three or four condiments I have in my fridge right now, all of them were purchased at 7-Eleven.
Well, that is the king of convenience stores.
So, can I tell you?
You're a sad, sad man.
Don't I know it.
Gary and Thorne, check him out every week, or every week on this show, every day on the Fantasy Sports Network at like 3, 5. You're hosting like 20 shows now.
Yeah. I think it's like 4, 4:30, 6:30.
The internet.
Yeah, the
internet. You find stuff
good.
On the internet.
Yeah, you can.
You can do that. Also, I'd like to thank Tim and August.
Tim and August.
Yeah.
What is it?
My name.
Yeah, there
and
you go.
And now it's in an evergreen piece.
Yeah.
I know.
It's never going away. And he wouldn't take it back this week either.
No, well, you know, life has taught me one thing. It's to learn when I'm beaten.
All right. I'll do it on the Pat Mayo Hour. Thanks for sticking around. There was a ton of games. We had other stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
Hopefully people don't hate this. And if you're watching this still on, like, YouTube, put your power rankings. Top three condiments. Maybe there's a prize in it for you. And by prize, I mean I'll make Tim follow you on Twitter. All right, that'll do it. We're getting out of here. I'm Pat Mayo. You can follow me at ThePME on Twitter. And remember, subscribe to the Pat Mayo Hour on YouTube and iTunes under the Pat Mayo Hour. Pat Mayo, good luck this week. I'll see you next time.